Pianist Monty Alexander's career has taken him far from his Kingston, Jamaica birthplace over the course of his career, but you never entirely leave your home behind, at least not when musical influences are as strong as they are in Jamaica. He's brought an island feel to 6 decades of performing at the highest level of the international jazz scene and brings it to the forefront in his latest incarnation, the Harlem Kingston Express. The band is performing this week in Waikiki, and Monty's with us in our studio. Thanks for coming in, Monty.
So glad to be with you. Absolutely.
I heard a little bit of the Harlem Kingston Express this morning, and the name of the band is just perfect, isn't it?
It's perfect for me. Something I wanted to do artistically, musically, for many years, and it was one day me waking up and said, you know, I want to be able to make music that reflects on my own life experience as a guy from Jamaica who actually, as a teenager, participated on early recordings of the Jamaica ska and when it, the beginnings of what was called Rocksteady. I wanted to bring my love of, call it straight ahead, swinging, pulsating jazz music. Those two worlds and a common bond. And in order to do that in the real way, which is very crucial to me, I needed musicians who live those both experiences. So what I have with this Harlem Kingston are musicians who are about the legacy of Duke Ellington, Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie, as well as musicians who are the standard in the reggae world that would have been people who could have been playing with Bob Marley. So what you have is those two experiences coming together. I'm the captain of the ship, or the I'm at the control board. The piano is the meeting place, and the vibe between the musicians of two different worlds come together in a most joyful way. I haven't been on the bandstand with those guys anywhere in the world. I've been with this idea, and we didn't hit that, call it joy button, you know, and celebration. And it's a very, very, for me, playing piano, it's like a miracle when I started doing this thing.
Well, Monty, when we describe two different worlds, the things you think about really are the rhythms. I mean, what's distinctive about Jamaican music is that reggae rhythm, that chop on the upbeats, right?
Exactly.
And then swing has a very distinctive feel all its own. You know, I would describe that swing feel as a kind of a resilience with straight ahead time, right?
Four
beats going right down the middle, but it's moving your body, and if it's too stiff, it doesn't work. Yeah.
Well, you have to live it, love it, own it, you know, eat it.
Yeah.
That's what grooving is, and rhythm. Rhythm is king. Rhythm is the heartbeat, the sun coming up in the morning, going to sleep at night, the cycle of the flowers, you know.
Yeah.
It's the word rhythm, as Jamaica say, rhythm. Because in Jamaica, when we talk, we don't go out of our way to shape the word like this. You know, we don't want to talk like that, you know. Because when we talk like this, is the free natural flow of how we are, and that gets into the music. And it's a world apart. And the whole thing about reggae was a phenomenon that where religion, Rastafarianism, met little calypso songs, where it met R&B coming from New Orleans in the late 50s, and jazz, because the jazz men were the best players in the studios making that music.
Sure.
But they also knew how to play in the hotels for the tourists.
Yeah.
The calypso songs that Harry Belafonte gave to the world. So all this hodgepodge, everything blended together, all these ingredients. I grew up listening to all kinds of music, from classical to Mantovani to Chopin to Louis Armstrong, my number one hero, who I saw on the stage in Kingston, Jamaica. I shook that guy's hand. You know, he said, "Hey, what's happening, kid?" You know? So I've had a ball.
The greatest musician of them all,
I would say, and the man who was not ashamed to make you feel good. You know, he'd start saying, make you happy without any shame. You know, a lot of jazz musicians kind of are very undercover. You know, they're not thinking about the audience. And I loved that. It reminded me of the calypso musicians in Jamaica who played for the people, you know, entertained. So the musicians I loved were all the different guys, you know, but the ones that, so as I said, here we are.
You know, Monty, there's a funny thing in the jazz world. We were talking about this a few minutes ago before the show, that sort of a distrust of popularity, that if you reach a lot of people with warm and accessible music, it's almost like the jazz world, the hardcore jazz world, wants to pull you back.
Indeed.
You know what I mean?
There's no question about it. I think it's not such an easy thing to explain, but it should be. I think when the musicians are private among themselves and keeping those secrets, musical secrets, it's a very, very important thing, because it's the heartbeat of the music, that's the roots of the music. But oftentimes, they're not thinking about sharing it with the people who don't have that level of sophistication.
And, yeah, it can become almost a scientific study, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And the people that have a personality that wants to uplift the audiences.
Louis Armstrong, Harold Garner.
I got Nat King Cole, Duke Ellington.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when Duke got up to
Cannonball
to say, you know, "We do love you madly," you know, he's got all these little lines to give a smile, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And Cannonball was another great example, you know.
Communicators,
and even ones that didn't talk, like Errol didn't talk that much.
Right.
But he started playing the piano, you know, he was talking to you with a smile, you know.
I hope that example, Monty, gets kept alive, you know, from generations that follow us. You think it will?
Well, I tell you, one of the things that I'm both a big fan of and not a big fan of is the fact that the most important thing, education for young people to learn about this music or this whatever schooling it is. Sometimes the well-intending teachers forgot to leave out the fact that, remember, we are here to, we get paid to do something that's kind of like a service to humanity. We want people to be healed. That's the best thing about this music. People walk in there maybe feeling down. When they walk out, if it was a healing, they got a new chance, a new battle, you know. Let's go again. And the musicians, the educators who know all that knowledge, they study it. It's in a test tube. And by the time they get it out to the young, the students that want to know the music, they could easily have taken the life, the spirit.
The joy,
Because you can't explain a bird flying, a plane taking off. It's a mystery. So anytime I meet somebody who said, "I know the secret of this and the secret of that." No, you don't. You don't know why this magic, why you get a goosebump. Why'd you get a goosebump? Why'd you cry?
Yeah.
When that solo was played so beautifully. Sorry, pal, you cannot explain that. It's a mystery, and it's a God-given gift.
Well, Monty, I think you explained a lot, and I've rarely heard it said better. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. Real treat to meet you.
I talk too much, though.
No. Talk just enough, Monty. Real pleasure. Monty Alexander and the Harlem Kingston Express are performing at the Blue Note Hawaii in Waikiki through Sunday. You can get details on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.